world. It is the great unmentionable. We don't want to talk about it. It is the unutterable concept. But Christians don't fear to talk about it.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Psalm 23 and verse 4. What do you see as you look at that verse? It's a powerful verse and one that's well known to most of us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As I look at that verse, there are really three ideas that stand out to me, and it is our shepherd provides refuge for us. The first thing I see there is adversity. That's the need for refuge. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The second thing I see here is prosperity, the source of refuge. David says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That says two things to me, really. One, God's presence, thou art with me. And two, God's peace, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are with me, that's God's presence, and you comfort me, that's God's peace. The last thing I see is security. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I have no reason to be afraid. I'm made secure. That is the effect of our refuge. The need of it, dark valleys. The source of it, the presence and the peace of God. The effect of it, security. I will fear no evil. We are delivered from fear. So that's an overview of the verse. Adversity, prosperity, security. The need of refuge, the source of refuge, and the effect of refuge. Now let me focus on that first part, adversity, the need for refuge. What is the proper response to adversity? I believe an insight into that idea is given by David in this verse, and it's my own view that there are four words in that opening phrase, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's so many things we could say about this verse, but I believe there are four words in this opening phrase which are designed to strengthen us as we face our dark valleys and enable us to respond to them properly. First, I believe that a confidence is implied in the word walk. I believe, secondly, that a conveyance is implied in the word through. I believe, thirdly, that a creativity and a compassion are implied in the word valley. And then finally, I believe a conquest, a victory, is implied in the word shadow. Now let's look at these for just a moment. And this will help us to face adversity and respond to it properly. First, a confidence is implied in the word walk. You know, the term walk suggests a calm, deliberate step. The kind of circumstance that would not suggest fear. You know what fear generally does? Fear generally has one of two effects upon us. It either routs us or it immobilizes us. Either we run away or we stand still. Fear has one of those two effects. Either it routs us or immobilizes us. David says, I don't run and I don't stop. I walk. Calm, deliberate step. I have confidence in my shepherd. Now, I want you to see, secondly, a confidence is implied in the word walk. A conveyance is implied in the word through. We're conveyed through the valley. I think it's significant that God does not say that we walk in the valley. We walk through it. In other words, we're not lost in the valley, nor are we subjected to irreparable harm there. The shepherd sees to that. Even death itself, this is the valley of the shadow of death, even death itself is not marked by any ultimate finality. It's simply a conveyance, a passageway into the more brilliant and higher presence of God. Death is, in fact, the one word which summarizes our human predicament as a result of sin. Because we're sinners, we face death. It is the one word, death. If you want to summarize the human predicament with one word due to sin, use the word death. Death is the wage that sin pays. It is its grim penalty. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. In our world, it is the great unmentionable. We don't want to talk about it. It is the unutterable concept. But Christians don't fear to talk about it, and Christians don't fear to face it. It took the coming of Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, to change all of that for us. Paul says in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says that by his coming, Jesus Christ abolished death. He emptied death of its penal power, so that death for the Christian is like a scorpion whose sting has been removed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Death, so far from separating a man from God, is that which brings a man into the nearer presence of God. It is no longer the abyss of nothingness. It is the gateway on the skyline. It brings us into the very presence of the Lord. And we have no fear, because our shepherd has already been through it. He's gone out ahead of us. He's made sure and certain our safe arrival to the heavenly portal. So David says, we do not remain in the valley. We pass through it. There's no irreparable harm, because the shepherd is with us, and he's made every provision for us. A confidence is implied in the word walk. Calm, deliberate step. I don't run away from reality. I don't withdraw from reality. I face it calmly and deliberately, because the shepherd's with me. A confidence and a conveyance. I'm not lost in the valley, and every day is not a dark valley. But they come, and we know the purposes for them. We've already shared those. Now, thirdly, I want to say quickly that there's, I believe, a creativity and a compassion which is implied in the word valley. You say, well, how is that possible? What do you mean? Why is it that the valley is an expression of God's creativity and his compassion? I would suggest that there are three characteristics of the valley that make it so. Number one, the valley is level. You say, what do you mean? The valley is level. Every mountain has its valleys. Its sides are scarred by deep ravines and canyons and defiles, and always the best route to the top of the mountain and the rich summer ranges for the feasting of the sheep, the best route to the top of the mountain is along the valleys. God knows what he's doing when he's leading us through the valleys. He's leading us to the higher ground. It's an expression of his creativity and of his compassion. Though there is darkness there and a certain danger and a certain difficulty, even an element of terror, it provides the gentlest grade over which the shepherd may lead his flock patiently and persistently upward to the summer ranges. So your valleys and mine, our disappointments and our frustrations, our dilemmas and our difficulties are all designed by God to lead us on to the higher ground, and they're the best way. And walking through these valleys with our shepherd is not nearly so devastating as running away from those trials out onto the rugged and perilous mountain terrain apart from the care and the presence of the shepherd. His way is the best way. The valley is level. It's the gentlest grade to the top of the mountain. Second thing I want to say about the valley is the valley is liquid. It's not only level, it's liquid. By that I mean this, the well-watered route to the higher ground up the mountainside for the Palestinian shepherd with his sheep is always through the valleys. It's there that one finds the refreshing water. It's in the deep defiles that there are rivers and streams and springs and quiet pools. It's liquid. The valleys are not only level, the gentlest grade, they're liquid. They're the well-watered route to the top of the mountain. So you and I are taught in the Bible that it is in the midst of our dark valleys that we are driven to drink of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. When we sing our songs in the sunlight, we are not so apt to turn to Jesus Christ and drink of him. But when God brings us into the dark valleys, we're made to see our great need, and we're driven to drink of Jesus. Now, there's a third thing, very quickly, just an outline form. One, the valley is level. It's the gentlest grade up the mountainside. Two, the valley is liquid. It's the well-watered route. Three, the valley is luxuriant. By that I mean this. It's in the valley where the richest food and the best forage are to be found as we make our way to the higher ground. The grassy glades and the best grazing for the sheep are always found on the floors of these steep-walled canyons. They're shrouded in darkness. There's difficulty and peril and danger there. There are predators and all other kinds of dangers, but the shepherd is there, and the liquid is there, and the food is there. It's right there that the sheep can feed and be filled as they move toward the higher ground. They can't be out on the rugged terrain of the mountainside, but they can in the deep and the dark valleys. And so it is for us. In the midst of our dark valleys, we're driven to feed on Christ. As our thirst is quenched, so our hunger is satisfied. That's why Isaiah warns, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Isaiah 55:2. Jesus could say in the New Testament, my Father giveth to you the true bread from heaven. Then he could say, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6, verses 32 to 35. You see, our valleys, when in company with the shepherd, are nothing other than steps or staircases to the higher ground, and they're the most creative and compassionate route to the summer ranges. The valleys are level, gentlest grade. The valleys are liquid, the well-watered route. The valleys are luxuriant, filled with the best food. We're driven to drink and to eat of the Lord Jesus. And finally, a conquest is implied in the word shadow. Do you notice? A conquest is implied in the word shadow. The shadow of a dog cannot bite us, said Charles Spurgeon. The shadow of a serpent cannot sting us. The shadow of a sword cannot kill us, and the shadow of death cannot destroy us. It's impotent because the shepherd's there. He's made all the provision for us. A victory, a conquest is implied in that word shadow. So David says this. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for a host of things. I shall not want for refuge. What do you see when you look at Psalm 23:4? I hope you see at least these three things with me. Adversity. There is adversity. Now we understand it perhaps a little bit better. We know how to respond to it a little more securely as we look at Psalm 23:4. We see adversity. We see prosperity. The presence and the peace of God. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You're with me and you comfort me. And we see security. I will fear no evil. Listen to this. Every man faces adversity sooner or later. But only those who know this prosperity, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Only those who know the presence and the peace of God will enjoy the security of God reflected in David's expression, I will fear no evil. So I must ask you as I close, I must ask you this. Do you know God's presence in God's peace in your life? Is Jesus Christ truly your Savior and your Shepherd? There is no presence of God and there is no peace of God until we know the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you forced, my friend, to walk through the dark valleys all alone? Then why not settle that issue today? Maybe you need to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He'll become God's presence in your life and God's peace. And he'll walk with you through the dark, deep valleys and meet every one of your needs. If you've never received Jesus Christ, I implore you, in Christ's stead, I beseech you, come to Christ. Receive him as your Lord, your Savior, and your Shepherd. Many of us are sheep of his fold. But listen, we who are his sheep, do we resist his direction in our life? Have we grown bitter rather than better because of wrong responses to adversity? Are we tempted to run out onto the rugged terrain of the mountainside apart from the care of the shepherd rather than stay under his jurisdiction in the dark valleys? If so, perhaps we need to honestly and humbly bring our lives back under his jurisdiction and purpose to follow him obediently, completely, and joyfully, even when he leads us through the dark valleys.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.